our final speaker in this session. You know that old saying that military intelligence is an oxymoron? As a professional observer of business, I've sometimes thought business intelligence. Well, our next speaker is a specialist in business intelligence. Paul Ormond-James, among other things, has had titles such as Global Head of Business Intelligence for the World Bank in Washington and Head of Business Intelligence for MBF. He is now, this is a big title, he's in charge of implementing decision intelligence and cultural change management for Australia Post. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Paul Ormond-James.
Well, thank you. I'd just firstly like to say that I've actually resigned from Australia Post. That's not a joke, that's true. So I'm now unemployed. I do have a job to go to and I start in 2 weeks' time. Now, firstly, I have been told that actuaries are the smartest of all analysts. Now, put up your hand if you agree with that. Right. That's a real shame, isn't it? Because what do the rest of you agree with? You're the dumbest? No, you are the smartest. And today I'm going to talk a little bit about your role as analysts, data, and decision-making. The personal side of stuff. So firstly, I truly believe analytics is a total waste of time for most organisations. Why? Well, it's really simple. Because to get to analytics, you have to have clean data. And because you are all nerdy geeks like me, you understand the term metadata. Because metadata gives data context. And without that, and without that being correct, all the analysis you do is garbage. The good thing is that the C-suite don't understand what you do. So, as long as they're ignorant, we're all got jobs, right? Great. The simple fact is that when you look at all surveys, it really, data works on the 80-20 principle. And I don't know about you as individuals, but definitely me, because, you know, my specialisation actually is neural analytics and machine learning. So my first degree was in robotics, and I got out of that because I wasn't really very good at it and things used to break, but that's all right. The analytics is a lot safer. The 80-20 rule tells us that when we get a data set, it seems that analysts spend 80% of their time trying to work out, is the data correct? Because we don't know where it's come from. And what quite often happens is IT is given the task of putting it into this storage area called the data warehouse. And they write rules that take it from the sources, put it in this warehouse, and then if we're really lucky, we might get it pushed out to, say, some cubes or some marts, where we get to play with it. But we don't understand the lineage. So because we don't want to be wrong, because you're like me, anal retentive, right? And you take pride in your work. You spend your time checking that data. Wouldn't it be a wonderful world if IT could give us data and lineage that we could trust so our jobs were 80% getting the answer and insights and maybe 20% just doing some benchmarks? An example is most corporate scorecards, they have safety on them, and everyone measures safety. But do we really measure data quality? Do we measure decision effectiveness? And I'm going to put some challenges on you. So at the end of this, I'm going to ask you to do something for me, because I think the responsibility sits in this room and with every analyst. And I think the problem is that we rely too much on the super C-suite. And why do we call these people C-level? Because they weren't good enough to get an A. Right? They're not like us. Well, I'm going to show you why. Ignorance. Ignorance is what drives the problems we have in analytics. Because people fundamentally don't understand the jobs we do. And they do not understand that accurate decision making, forecasting, and predictive analytics depends on that data being accurate. I say big data is big crap. Right? Imagine, we don't know what we want to do. So let's collect every piece of garbage data in the that is known to man. We'll stick it in a warehouse, and then somehow, magically, we're going to sift through all this garbage and find the insight. But they keep pouring more garbage in. All right? I believe the answer is small, accurate data. Then we can do our jobs instead of sifting through the pile of garbage, which they seem to keep all the time, right? So we have an accountability to make sure that IT understand what data we need, how we need it, and how to treat it. And there is not enough interaction between us and that IT. In my teams that I run, the ETL, extract, transform, load, that goes into the warehouse, is controlled by my analytic teams. Because only then can I know that the rules are right. And I can trust the data. The little graph here that just sort of shows who oversees analytics initiatives. It's all over the damn place. Some CEOs own it. Some CFOs own it. Some risk managers own it. Some business owns it. The trouble is there is no consistency. And it's different for different organisations. So I believe the analysts have to stand up. And we have to take some ownership. The super C-suite. First of all, you've got the super CIO. And this person can grab operational data in a single bound, whack it into a warehouse, and leap big data with a single bound. But they are not analysts. And you have a responsibility to be working with the CIO and explaining to them what do you need to gain the insight. Because if you don't, why should they know? They are not trained analysts. Okay? So that's the first challenge for you. Super CEO. Super CEO. They're trying to run a business. They're trying to do 1,000 things at once in dynamic data change. You know, your big data. Volume, variety, velocity. Well, velocity's changing. It's changing all the time. I always love when I get told, I go into an organisation and they say, you're driving change. Great. Okay, I'm driving change. Here's all the history. Great. From that, we can determine our next step. No. Because you want to change. Doesn't that tell you where you don't want to be? And they sort of go, oh. So we actually got to collect new data in new ways to understand the new world. You guys can do all that because that's your job. But, you know, if you want to sit there and be told what to do, eventually you'll be unemployed. Step up. Aha, the super CFO. Able to stop investment faster than a speeding bullet. Great thing with CFOs, very simple mathematics, not the stuff that we do. You know, I pretty early in age could make 1 and 1 equal 2. And that's what they get paid a lot of money for. Wonderful. We have a different view of data and we have a different view of how things work. Variety. We know that 80% of the value of data is unstructured. How many people actually have unstructured warehouses? Had this discussion with a very large food company who wanted to get greater insights out of structured data. And they were telling me about how they're going to do this. And I said, well, that's actually impossible. Have you heard the term Hadoop? If you don't know what Hadoop is, and if you don't know what Hadoop 2 is, look it up. It is the way to really gain the insights you need. So, educate your CFO. Yes, we have super risk officers too. Also in charge with managing risk in the corporation. But they need data. If they do not understand the risk, which they may or may not, because they may or may not be from an analytic perspective. They may be from a legal perspective. Not saying that's wrong, it's just that you need a whole bunch of skills to make things right. Educate your risk officers. Make sure they understand what you see. You know, you can make predictions if you've got the right data, because your role really is to produce the over-the-horizon radar, right? Because you've got three eyes. Hindsight, wonderful, driving through your rear view mirror. Insight, what's happening now. Foresight, what could happen. That's your job. Educate. And we've got Batman and Robin. Okay, Superman. I couldn't find a Robin Bear. Where you've got chief security officers who are responsible for all the cyber side. And you've got chief information officers. The title CIO, Chief Information Officer, quite often relates to Chief Infrastructure Officer. All right, that's got to change because you've got cloud, you've got other things that are going on. My problem is, who is actually really accountable for stuff? Because all of them seem to play the game, but it's very hard to decide who actually should be doing the job. And it's because of consequences. I mean, I would like to see on a corporate dashboard a measure of how much time analysts had to spend wasting their time because the data wasn't right. Because that's a cost to the company. And the quality of that, as we heard through the 13 APPs, are getting more severe. What happens if you have a breach? The hunt for the guilty. They're probably going to come looking for you. Because you're the last person to touch the data and made the recommendation. So if you don't take privacy seriously, I'd start looking for another job right now, because it will get you. What you've got to be is proactive. And I suppose I'm part of a global think tank called Analysts First, where we work on the personal side of analytics across the globe, and a global think tank. We tackle problems. And one thing we've learnt is that you've really got to be proactive, not reactive. And that's the same in the insurance industry. I think, as Richard explained, you know, and by the way, you don't fall into this category. I mean, it was actually refreshing to hear a CEO that understood the relevance of data, right? He's the guy you want to work for, right? Definitely, that guy there, right? Because it's great to hear that. So often I go to conferences, I don't hear that. I hear excuses. You know, and in insurance, you can't have excuses. So these are your tasks. First, you must drive an active program to educate your C-suite. You have got to explain to them what you do, what you see, and what you know. One, it would get a better outcome. Two, it might get you better pay. That's a good thing. Three, it might even get you noticed. One of the big banks at the moment is going through a program that I'm involved in, teaching all their staff, from senior management down, the fundamentals of analytics. That is commitment. And it's great, because people can ask the most stupid questions, and there is no stupid question, because if you don't know, ask. So things are changing. Oops. Oh, there we go. When you're talking to executives, frame the issues you find in their language. All right? You speak Martian. You speak a different language, because in our world of analytics, we have terms and concepts and the way to look at data in different ways. And so we can talk actively between each other. But to the executives, it may not be quite plain, because their focus is on making money and having, you know, that total financial risk, you know, making decisions for the future. So always make sure you learn executive so that you can communicate. You know, if you're going to write, also, a great tip, put your data in the form of the behaviour of the receiver. So if it's a marketing dude, just put pretty pictures, because they don't understand detail anyway, right? So just put pretty pictures in. If it's a CFO, don't put pictures in. Put numbers in, you know? Just add a few, 4 or 5, 10 more pages with numbers that don't mean anything. Because the more you've got, the better it is. With a CEO, you know, they actually want to see recommendations, because that's your job. Rather than say, look, I've got this problem here, I'm Mr. CEO. Then he says, well, why am I employing you? All right? So think about personality factors when you present information. This is what analysts need to do. So, basically, you have a challenge, you have a task. If you're here to expect C-suite to do your job, you're mistaken. But you should insist that part of your job description includes quality of data and education. Because you're really smart. You know, when I grow up, I want to be an actuary. Maybe. But you are smart. And what I compel analysts to do is data is an issue. Data quality is an issue. But don't give it to someone else. Make it yours. And if you can't, change professions. Thank you.